Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because you have taught us to seek your glory and to seek your presence. And we will do what we do for the right motive, to give glory to the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we shall not seek for what the world has to offer, but we shall seek for that which is eternal, that which lasts into eternity, for the reward that you've set before us. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, because each and every person who steps out of here has that right before them, that it is for the glory of Jesus, and it is by him, and it is for him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You know, every time you shake a tree, you know, the loose mangoes or whatever it is are shaken and they come down. Eh? Now, some of you haven't noticed that for almost the last 2 months, the ministry has been under some shaking. Eh? Okay, of course, so many of you didn't notice. A few people noticed. And it has been kind of intense. Eh? It has actually been intense. So now when I look around, I see so many people fell off. Eh? And they don't know why or what happened, but they suddenly wake up one day and they feel, we don't want to go to, you know, to the Watchman. But that's perfectly okay. But my point is, I hope you noticed. If you didn't, then maybe you're not a part of this. Maybe you should also have fallen off. And you see, even when we win, as we already have, then a few of the people who got shaken with it don't come back. Eh? Praise the Lord. But you see, now I'm going to get a bit more intense in the way we do things. For instance, all the time when I know people who are playing games, eh, who are coming from some other places trying to play games with me, I play along and make them feel that I don't know what they are doing. But now I'm going to be different. So if you're sent by somebody, I will tell you off and in the way that only I can do. I'll go back to my journalist days, eh, and hammer you seriously, but I might spare you the whatever, because I'm tired of games. And you know, there are so many people who have so much time to play games, and if only they knew the times in which we are living, if only they knew what God is doing right now, they would know that the games they are playing are going to take them to hell. Like, we are in a very deadly time, and output has to be there. There has to be output. The scripture says that offenses shall by all means come, but woe unto him by whom those offenses come. So we know that somehow there is going to be offenses. There's going to be people doing, you know, silly things. But he says, woe unto him through whom those offenses come. I didn't say that. That's the Lord who said that. But then there's also the good side, which I'm here to tell you. Okay? There's the good side, because the Lord has been impressing on me that for the most part, the church thought that his reward is there. But he says his reward is not there only. It's actually more here. Which means that every decision you make for him is going to be rewarded here and in front of people before it is rewarded there. Praise the Lord. Because every morning you wake up and you make a decision that is for the kingdom. And now it's not for God to just wait and then those who make contrary decisions go the other side and then you go this side. No, actually, it is going to be rewarded right in front of them now, between now and the time of the end. So that by the time you're picked out of this earth, the people who made decisions that were not for God will know that God has rewarded you in front of them. Right in front of them. You know them in your families and in all those places, and then they will see that something different, there's something different about you because of the way you will prosper right before their eyes, before you're taken away. So that also them, their torment starts here, by seeing you prospering, and then it also continues the other side. Amen? Now that is how God. Now the thing is, for the most part, the church thought, you know, one would say that, you know, lay up your treasures in heaven, and you think that it's just for heaven. And actually, you fail to realize that the treasures in heaven are actually to be enjoyed here. Praise the Lord. And you can lay up treasures in heaven and you enjoy them when you're still on earth. And actually, that's what God wants. And this whole thing of every good thing, yeah, when we go to heaven. Yeah, when we go to heaven. That is not how God does these things. Praise the Lord. Because when the devil, actually, that has been one of the main deceptions of the enemy. That no, you suffer here on earth, you're going to heaven. And you'll enjoy in heaven. But now I want to show you that even all the sufferings that the scripture talks about in the end time, all of them come in installments until the final one comes. Amen? Right now there are people who made decisions which were permanent, and they are going to, perhaps going to spend eternity in hell. But the hell starts right here. The hell starts right here. Where somebody has a lot of money. And you, if you listen to these interviews, some people perhaps don't listen to them. And you see somebody who has a lot of money and is saying their biggest challenge is how to stop themselves from committing suicide. Where you're told there is a hell which is worse than there, you say, let me just start it right now. Because somewhere along the way, you made the decision. Of course, there are those which are permanent and those which are not permanent. But they made a decision which was not for God. And then, the devil, being the sadist that he is, he starts giving you a sample of hell before you ever get there. And then you have to keep up the charade of going on and showing people that you have everything. You're a superstar, you're what? But you're a comedian and you commit suicide. You know, that's the irony of the devil. The other day I was seeing some guy of, and I really don't mean to, you know, to speak ill of people who have these issues, but the other comedian who committed suicide. Eh? What's he called? Robin what? Robin Williams. Imagine somebody is making people laugh, but he's so miserable. Now that's the devil. Then the other day there was another guy who works for CNN, called Anthony Bourdain, who was doing some chef stuff and going around the world showing different cuisines and how to eat them. Showing people different kinds of food and how to eat it. That sounds like a good job. Yeah. So you go around and say, now we are eating Thai food, man, it's so good, and you're giving marks. And then the guy commits suicide. And then you say, now really? Now that's a foretaste, where somebody does something and you get a foretaste. Now even these plagues, I'll give you an example. This past month, May and June, only for you, you did not witness it. But across most of Asia, Europe, and some parts of America, there were record high temperatures. Temperatures which broke almost every record, where people, I think the previous highest of all was 52 degrees somewhere in those parts of India. 52 degrees now, that's completely unbearable. But they were breaking records this past May and June. And it was almost across board. Now, you see, when Jesus is talking about the plagues that are coming, he talks about, first of all, you know all these things come in bit, then the final one. It's not that everything is okay, then bam. Now, even the earthquakes, which he speaks about, remember he says the earthquakes, there will be various, you know, earthquakes and, you know, the sea will be roaring and people's hearts will fail, you know, for fear. And there will be nothing predictable. Absolutely nothing predictable. You don't know how everything is going to turn out the next day. Now, Jesus says that. But at the end, at the sixth seal, it says that there are great lightnings, earthquakes, and thunders. Now that's the climax. That's the climax of the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ at that time. But before that, there are earthquakes, so many earthquakes, which are killing increasingly more people. Okay? Now, in Revelation 20, it says that the end of all things will be by a flood. The world destroyed. I mean, this before the New Jerusalem. Now, you get a foretaste. Tsunami. Then they increase. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that this is the beginning of labors. You understand? Eh? Now, if a woman is expecting and she's heavy and she's due, that's exactly what happens. Before the child, there is one big pew, which pushes out the child. But it's not the first one she feels. She first feels one, pew, then it takes a while, then pew, another one. What are they called? Contractions. Eh? Then, pew, then a third one, then a fourth. There is one which is going to ultimately bring the child out. But there are so many others in between. Now, if you read Revelation 15, verse 1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven seals, the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Now, this wrath of God is wrath of God on earth, and there is a wrath that has to be completed here on earth before the wrath is even started in heaven. Amen? So there are certain scores which have to be settled here on earth, good and bad. Amen? Now, these plagues of the wrath of God. Now, you see, I've heard people say, no. The great tribulation is the wrath of the devil, not the wrath of God. It's the wrath of God. And it's here, and it's also the wrath of the enemy. So you had better not be here when these things happen. Because you're suffering wrath from two people. Because somewhere else, it says the devil is cast out from hell, in Revelation 12, and he comes and brings his wrath on earth because he knows his time is what? Is short. Now, but also in the same time, the wrath of God is also being unleashed in the same period of time upon the people on earth. Now, but you see this wrath of God, this is after the rapture. But before the rapture, there will be others that will come when we are still on earth. But they will come selectively. Because if you notice in the spiritual realm right now, there are things which are happening and where there is a clear split amongst human beings, amongst nations, sometimes even amongst continents, where there is a line being drawn between those who are for God and those who are against God. And then you notice that there is a spirit of Pharaoh which is rising up slowly through everything, through the movies. Now the movies are showing Pharaoh. The other day I showed you here Wakanda and all that, and gods of Egypt and everything, and now they are mummifying. What today in the news, there was some big thing which was discovered, which they thought had the remains of Alexander the Great. It was discovered in Alexandria, but it turns out it had three people inside them, and there was three skulls inside, and there was also feces inside. I don't know how that was. Maybe they were buried alive. But there is a lot of Egypt across the world, and you can see it. And you see, if you knew how to understand what's happening in Hollywood, then you'd see it. Now, then, there is a lot of also surveillance. Now, while the people of the New World Order suffered a bit of, suffered a backlash or a hiccup with the election of Donald Trump, that has not stopped them from working behind the scenes. Because the technology that is going to foment the mark of the beast is very much being implemented right now in India right now. 1.3 billion people are being put on a system by force where every part of their data is entered into. It's a system called ANHA or something like that. And every one of them is on it. And remember, in those countries, you cannot say I'm not because you're Christian. Now, that is not yet the mark of the beast, because they take everything, fingerprints and everything, and every part of your data, and you cannot buy or sell unless you have it. Right now in India, you cannot buy or sell right now unless you have it. That is not yet the mark of the beast. But you see, when the technology is in place, all that is left for the mark of the beast to be implemented is a decision. Because they have everything. It's already in place. It's already in you. Now all they decide, all they do is they go somewhere in some boardroom and decide, now we are going to turn it into wearable technology. Because we have no place to keep all this data about you. So we have to put it inside your body. And now then, that is the mark of the beast when it happens. But you see, all the technology is already being put in place. All the surveillance. Now, you remember that I've told you know about the internet, which is a connection between computers and devices. I told you about the mind net. You remember that time? which is a connection between people's minds, and the man who, the scientist who is behind it, actually called it a mind net. So just like through the internet, I can know what somebody is doing on their computer. I can know what everybody is doing through the mind net. Now they have taken it further into gadgets. Every form of gadget is connected to it right now. If you have any TV, tab, what, anything that is 2017 and above, it watches you more than you watch it. Unless you have the old Panasonic TVs, they are yourself. But if you have these modern ones, all of them have been to a gadget net. And the purpose, and now you see even the new iPhone which is released now, you speak to it and it does. So you speak to the, and it listens to you and does what you say. Now, isn't that cool? But of course it also has, that means it has microphones. So it's also listening to you, even when you're saying other things which are not connected to it. So now, all the technology, the other day they picked out a man who was trying to hide from a stadium of 60,000 people in China, and it took only a few minutes. The cameras, all, and they pick out all specific, you know, they just cut down from 60,000 people using specific face appearances. So they reduced to now 10,000, now 1,000, now 500, now, until they identify the guy, Jew, and the police just come and get you, pick you from there. Now all the technology is being put in place to do every kind of surveillance. Now you see these banking systems and so on, everything is being put in place. Now, all that it will take is a decision by the people at the top. The UN decides, now from now onwards, this is it. Now you see the temperatures are going high. People are saying that climate change. But that is just the beginning of sorrows. As Jesus said, there will always be an end. Okay? But you see now here, the great wrath of God. Go to chapter 16, verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying, go to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and the loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Now, that's not the plague I'm interested in, but that's also going to be one of them, because it's already there. The helium batteries which they use inside that thing which they are planning to put in people's bodies, actually, somebody warned the scientists, not somebody of the Bible, that if the battery cracks and the contents come out, this is exactly what will happen. People will start having sores. But it's in the Bible. And the person who is saying it is not reading the Bible. He's a scientist. Okay, but the one I want to, verse 8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. The sun and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Now you see, this is the ultimate of when men are scorched by the sun, but that is after the. But right now, it's happening in small phases. Only people will call it climate change and so many other things. But all these things, there will be the great earthquake, but there are earthquakes right now. There will be the great tsunami, but there are tsunamis right now happening, and they are increasingly happening, like the woman giving birth, the beginning of sorrows. Now, it gets more frequent and more painful until the real thing, okay, is given birth to. And they did not repent. Now, there are so many such things taking place right now which are going to be used by God to demonstrate those who are on his side and those who are not. Now, also, there is a great reward of the marriage supper of the Lamb. But also, God is going to be has started giving out small rewards right now, which has to be enjoyed in front of your enemies. Because the scripture says, he prepares a table for me, what? Before my enemies, Psalms 23. So now, the great reward is coming, but before then, there are also small rewards which are coming, which are going to distinguish clearly who is for God and who is against. Now, the heat wave did not come to Uganda because, you know, in Micah chapter 7, verse 13, the scripture actually says, Micah chapter 7, verse 13, yet the land shall be desolate because of those who dwell in it and for the fruit of their deeds. So did you know that what you do can make a land where you dwell become desolate or fertile or not fertile or barren? Actually, the scripture says, talking about the children of Israel, because the place where they currently are and where they have become the leading producer of citrus fruits, and so many things which come out of their land. It was absolute desert before they came there. But the scripture says, I think in Ezekiel, that God speaking to the land and telling it, become fertile as you prepare for the return of my people, Israel. So before Israel started moving towards that place, the land started healing itself. And it was stones, complete stones and real hard core desert. Suddenly green things start coming up. By the time they came in 1948, the land had become fertile. And the scripture says in Ezekiel that Ezekiel telling the land to prepare itself for the return of God's people, the children of Israel. Now, this thing is established that it happens all the time. And I told you that, remember the other time I told you about the other place in Guatemala called what? Almolonga. Hosea chapter 4 verse 1. A land in Guatemala which was very barren, and almost everybody in that place practiced witchcraft. Very desolate place, very poor, alcoholism, drugs, what, every crime, everything that there was. Until one missionary one day went there and faced all the witchcraft and converted the priest who was very sick, one of their witchcraft priests. Now, over a period of not too long, it was said that about 90% of the people in that place became born again. And up to now, there is a signpost as you enter the city. Welcome to the city of Almolonga, where Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, incredibly, the land which was very infertile became one of the most fertile land in that place that they produce. I was showing you pictures that time when I preached about it. They are producing carrots as big as this. You needed two people to carry a watermelon. The land just healed itself when the people were healed. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in that land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn. So the people do and the land mourns. So now, because we are here, Uganda's climate is not going to be fake. And people die. Do you know how many people died of heat strokes? I'm talking about this summer. Especially elderly people. Somebody just, it's too hot. And the person just dies of heat. Dies of heat. Then in places, electricity went off. So there's even no running away to what? To AC. Unless you go in your car. Then fuel prices also went up. Okay. So people dying of heat stroke. But you see, the land will mourn. Everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Can you imagine everything goes wrong because the people who dwell on the land are fake? Then if those people were to move or to convert and something good happens of them, like what happened in that Guatemalan city called Almolonga, then suddenly the land becomes perfect. The weather becomes perfect. But you see, how are you going to convince that to people who are very well schooled and have been taught about climate change and every other rubbish that the world has to offer? And now let me tell you, you see, this thing, the Lord has a way of making something which men have lifted up and make it look fake and show it for how fake it is because they have moved away from what he said. I'll give you an example which is not going to make many of you happy. Should I? Okay. Should I? Okay. Now, it's in Isaiah. But you're not going to be happy, warning. You are not going to be, and don't, it is well. Eh? Okay. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 16. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, they have malala, and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes. You know what wanton eyes means? Eyes looking for what? You know those eyes of going looking around for men, eh? Like, that's what it means, actually, eh? Eyes that want. Wanton eyes that want. Somehow I knew Rego would know that, eh? Walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet. Okay. Therefore, the Lord will... Go down a bit. And the Lord and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. Hmm? I want to show you something, that this is true for everything. When you put anything above the knowledge of God and kind of turn it around and make it want to be in a certain way, then it doesn't work for you. Let me show you something. Verse 18. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery and the jingling anklets and the scarves and the crescents, the pedants, the bracelets, the high heels, the what, and so on. Okay, high heels. The perfume boxes, verse 20. The perfume boxes, the charms. Eh? Verse 24. This is a whole continuous thing. Instead of a sweet smell, there will be a stench. Instead of a stash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Can you imagine? Instead of a rich robe, a girding of sackcloth. Now go to verse chapter 4, verse 1. It's also a continuation of that. Now this is scripture and this is prophecy. Chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own food. In other words, we are corporates. We have our own salaries. And wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. That is Bible prophecy. I'm not the one who wrote it. Praise the Lord. Because they refused God's plan for how these things are. Okay? Then they listened to Hollywood, where women are the ones chasing men. Who told you women chase men? Like, you take the glory away from being a woman. You're supposed to be there and look nice, and some guy starts plotting for you and what, you know. But you see, somehow, because you've believed the Western rubbish, which thinks that just because you have a job and what and all that, God's giving of roles for men and women has nothing to do with income. That is the world in which you live. Okay? Now, because people have stopped seeing it God's way, and they are seeing it Hollywood's way, then he says, okay, since women think they are all that, remember it says they are move with wanton eyes, and they are very haughty, and they are the ones looking for. Do you understand? Eh? Now, and you know that thing, the society is turned upside down completely. Now, I remember long ago when they started these columns in newspapers of searching over what? Eh? Searching. Usually it would be, you know, men searching for beautiful women and beautiful women searching for, like, men. Okay, rich men, but okay. Men who are able of taking care of themselves. But you know now, you see somebody saying, I'm a student, I'm 21, I'm looking for a woman who is 38, who is able to pay my school fees. Can you imagine? Like that, society has changed, and it is a complete turning upside down of the way things are supposed to be. Now where men are eating off women, are you kidding me? What kind of man is that? Who is looking for a woman to pay his school fees? If I found him, I would box him. Eh? It is complete. It's wrong on all fronts. Do you understand? Now, he says, but because women have encouraged that, and you know, so she says, I have my own car, I have my own house, I have my own everything, I'll eat my own food. But seven women are tying on one man. Is that true of our society today? Unless you are in denial, the truth is yes. So he says, I don't want your money. I don't want anything. Actually, I'll even give you a car. Now that is a complete, now, Bible prophecy. Because the women were, you know, all that, very haughty, and they refused to accept God's plan for women. And I see that all the time. Even when I go talking about this, you know, I tell them what the Bible says about husband and wife, and you see all of them, ah man, as if the Bible is, actually they call the Bible chauvinist. But they don't know it. And they have tried their way. Because they think the Bible somehow puts women down. That's what so many people think. Some of you think that. But it is so untrue. It is so untrue. It's demonic. So you end up in feminism, and you think because you have your own, you know, car and what, and then you end up with here. And this is Bible prophecy. Let's read it again. Now you see, some of you are saying, yes, I'm not happy. Because I'm not the one who wrote it. And in that day, which day? Seven women shall take hold of one man. Huh? Like, there is dignity in being, you know, the script, you know, some of the things which people don't know about, but which are in the Bible, and if you read them, you would see. You know, First Peter says that, you know, be like Sarah, who called Abraham Lord, Lord. whose daughters you are if you continue in this thing. Do you know that in the Bible there is nowhere Sarah told Abraham to do something and he did not do it? Do you know the only time he didn't want to do it, actually God told him, do it. Do what the woman is telling you to do. The power is not in fighting. And it's in the scripture. Now, Sarah, who called Abraham Lord, Lord, not one single time did she tell him anything, and he didn't do it. Now, you try your method of getting him to do it, and you see if it works better. I can guarantee you it will not. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. You see, the reason women run away from this is because they are afraid they will be trampled on. And the truth is, they will be trampled on if they don't do it. Isaiah 4, verse 1, will come to pass if they don't do it. Because you see, God presents his way, and he's the manufacturer, and he has his manual. So if you buy a gadget, the best way to do it is the way the manufacturer says. Now, if you want to have do it your own way, and there is a manual, and for you want to do it your own way, you will turn out with results which are fake, and you will spoil your thing. God says, you do this, do it by you. I made man, I made women. This is the way it works. But you see, the Western world has presented us with its feminism, and you know all those things. And they just stumble over everything that God says. And they make a complete mockery of it. And then you go and see if they actually have a good life. If they enjoy the beauty of being, you know, coupled. Look at the results before you look at the method. 50% of people in those societies are likely not to get married. And even the other 50 who get married are likely to be a 30%. 50% of them are likely to be divorced in the first year of their marriage. But you see, because they made us think that they know so much, which they don't. You see, you have to see those things which are not of God as despisable. That's why people end up, because if I told you this business has a 50% chance of, then even the 50%, you have to divide 50, then 50, would you do it? But they come with their marriage books and you listen to them. They have nothing to offer you in marriage. Nothing. The Western society has nothing to offer you in regard to marriage. If you want to learn how to whatever marriages, read books by locals. Because at least here, there is a good chance of people remaining married. So we have a better chance in that area than them. So they should shut up and let people who can keep marriages speak. And that is coming from somebody who has divorced. Okay, I just had to put that out of the way. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not work. But you will get this. We have our own cars, we have our own homes, we have our own what. We don't need anything from you. Please just let me, you know, be called your girlfriend. And there are six others. And that is Bible prophecy. Okay, I know now so many of you are angry, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. It's perfectly okay because that is Bible script. But you know some of these things, eh? I don't know, you know, maybe it's colonialism. How did those people make us think they know a lot? Really? Anyway. And do you know how many people are going to go into hell? Because, I mean, you know, science has proven. Were you there in the laboratory? And there are so many stupid Africans here who are believing all that rubbish without even sitting. If it is what you've believed, if you've sat down and analyzed it and considered both sides and come up with that conclusion, thank you very much. I have respect for you. But just because some guy with a long nose says something, and you also, and people are going to hell because of that. Just because of that. Can you imagine? Because some guys with long noses came up and said, you know, people are born homosexuals, then you also believe. Then they start giving you some experimentations over what and so on. Then you say, no, somebody was born over what? And you know inside you that it's fake. And you know it's, okay, there's one thing it being, but you know it's fake. But you see, they'll start showing you animals over this animal, what is what, they are what, and they go and inject them with some hormones, then they start pursuing fellow same sex, then they get the video and show you, see, even some animals are, they are not. It's a lie. Now this whole climate change thing, over science, there are so many credible scientists who have said the change of climate has nothing to do with human activities. Credible scientists. There are so many credible scientists who said how the whole inherent homosexual thing is fake. But they lost jobs, they did what, they were thrown out and what, and they were trampled on because they want to present something. Okay? There are so many credible scientists who say there is no way you can explain the existence of the earth without a creator.
And that should be the most elementary wisdom of even like a suckling baby. You know, I remember one time Ronald Reagan said that you'd want to meet an atheist and take him home and serve him a very good meal and then ask him if he believes there is a cook. I mean, did food cook itself? You know, it's so elementary. It even beggars belief. But because it comes from people with long noses, you find people intellectual over what? Now, even that wisdom, now let me tell you, the people who have chosen to live that wisdom, you are going to see how in front of them, God shows that the wisdom we've chosen, you know that thing of the foolish things of this world, when God chooses, deliberately chooses the foolish things of this world. So that somebody has all those, you know, letters that show about education, and you're employing them. And God does it just to make them look foolish. And that is the beginning of the reward, and it is beginning now. Now, let me tell you. The year, we are in the Jewish year 5778. Eh? 5778. And you see, in that language, words have numbers. They are numerical attachments to every word. Here, we try to do it, but we don't have it. That's not our, you know, our alphabet. But that figure means dream, dreaming or fulfillment of dreams, 5778. Now, you know, the year actually started last year in September, because their years count from the fall or from the autumn, and it's going to end this, you know. But the beginning, 5778, and it is the beginning, you know, all these correlations. You remember when I taught you, when I was teaching Joseph generation, which month was that? 3rd November. Now, that was about 1.5 months into 5778. And the Lord, I didn't know this at the time, but when I went to seek the Lord on what to minister, he gave me Joseph generation. And the Joseph generation had started then. And the chief dreamer, Joseph, told us 7 years. 7 years. Now, these 7 years that are coming, starting last year, for dreaming and accomplishment of dreams. Now, let me tell you, the other day I was speaking to Prophet Elvis, and he told me that the time between June and August, September, was a time for takeoff this month, August, September, a time of taking off. So anything you've dreamt about, now he told me that as coming from the Lord. Me, I can derive it from so many other things in the scripture. Do you understand? For him, he does not know 5778. For him, he was just telling me what the Lord told him. This is takeoff time. Now, Isaiah 65, verse 11. Okay, start from verse 8. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I'll bring forth the descendants from Jacob and from Judah, an heir of my mountains. My elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down, for my people who have sought me. But you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for God. God is not Zungu pronunciation of God. God is a kind of an idol. So the next time you're trying to sound Chizungu, you might be praying to an idol. So next time you say praise God, you had better be sure what you're talking about. So they prepare a table for God, and who? But man, we've suffered so many things. You're not even calling an idol that you're trying to speak like an ave. Okay, and who furnish a drink offering for many? Which is also a type of an idol. Therefore, I will number you for the sword, and you shall all bow down to slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear, but did evil before my eyes. And choose that which I do not delight in. Therefore, thus says the Lord, verse 13. Behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Say praise the Lord. Behold, my servants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart. Now, this is not there. This is here, where God is causing a clear distinction. And I'm telling you, you're going to see it. If anybody, if you've been hearing the things we've talking about of stepping out and believing God, and you're going to see this thing happening in this time. Praise the Lord. Where even your family members who thought you're stupid because you chose a certain way, God is going to get you and just confound them in front of you and show that he's God. Do you understand? And these scores have to be settled here before even raptured. Where they all see that you're the one who is happy. You're the one who is this. You're the one who is that. Then they will get angry. Then they will say, where do you get all that money? When they will do this, how come this is happening for you? But they made their decision to go with education, to go with what? Things which are presented as all that. And then God shows that education has not helped them at all. And then you just show up from somewhere looking like a Rastafarian with ugly hair. But somehow everything is working for you because you made a decision. Praise the Lord. And now is decision time. This is also true for nations. Now is decision time. People will choose which direction to go. And there will be a clear demarcation. And you know, I knew this. One of the first things I knew when I started teaching Bible prophecy is at some stage there will be a clear demarcation. And those who will go the other side will find it very difficult to cross over this side. Remember when it said they were scorched with the fire and they blasphemed God rather than repenting? Because they can't repent. They have made up their mind. And at that stage, they are going deeper and deeper into their thing. Now, because God, there was a chance for them to make a decision for God, and they chose not to, for whatever reasons. Amen? I remember some friend of mine way back when things were really tight, and, you know. So I was finding out the new way, because I knew that the other way, by the grace of God, I knew that the things we had pursued, those books which we used to read and so on, I knew that... These things are not going to work. Where somebody writes how to get rich, or what, rich what, poor what. And the only person who gets rich from that thing is him. And he gets so rich, he even ends up fighting for bankruptcy. So imagine somebody teaching you how to be rich and he's fighting for bankruptcy. So I realized that, no, there's something not right here. Because, and then also I know, who is there and he wants all of you to be rich? There is no such rich person. They don't be there thinking, how do I make the whole world rich? No. Except those who are, you know, of God. So I said, no. There has to be a way which we don't understand in the Bible. So I started, and I started learning these things. So then I tried to bring along some friends of mine on this journey. But they despised the wisdom. And they decided to continue with the, you know, those books, Seven Ways of Get What, you know, written by New Age people. Napoleon Hill, what, you know, all those clowns. Now, so they continued with that knowledge. For me, I started pursuing a different knowledge. Now, what happens after some years is the very person comes and asks you, but man, things are not working out. What can I do? And I looked at him and said, you missed the chance. You missed the bus when it was on your stage. Now it is so difficult, because if I even started telling you, I'm telling you things I've learned in a period of 7 years. How can I impress them on you in a short period when your landlord is on your case or something like that? But me, when I stood, by the grace of God, I took the bus when I still could. And I left those things. And I know now where I'm heading. You understand? Now, there is a bus for everybody to take. And there is a time when you've missed it. Now, even the things we're speaking about the end time, the return of the Lord, and all these things, there will be a chance for people to take the bus. But some of them will refuse to take it. And then they go down the road, and now even when the sun is scorching, they can no longer repent. It's too late. They missed the bus because they crossed a certain line. Now, some people will say, no, there's not a time when you can't repent. And no, the point is, you can repent, but you will not. You can't. You understand? If you did, you'd, you know? That's why the scripture says that, I'm talking about Jesus, that if only their eyes could open and they come and, you know, and I save them. You've read that in the scripture. They have become dull of hearing. And say, if only they could turn around. But you see, they passed. So in all these things, there is a bus where you say, I'm going to make the decisions of God. And now, if he rewards, let him reward me. And then, if you take that decision right now, you're actually taking it when the bus is about to arrive at its destination. When rewards are going to become very, very, very commonplace. Even somebody who made the decision yesterday is in reward. Those who made the decision 10 years ago are in the same reward. You remember the parable of Jesus? Of people who went to the field? One went in the morning, one went in the mid-afternoon, one went in the late afternoon, and the other went in the evening. And they all got the same reward. So if you get the bus now, you get the same reward. Praise the Lord. You take the bus now. When God is lifting people up to show the other ones, you came last, but you're also there on a chair. And then you look and say, then Keita, who has been there 20 years, says, you man, how come? He says, also me, I'm enjoying it. You chill, you relax. And now that is the way of God. So a time comes when, in everything, by the way, you can choose to listen and say, you know what, this is not working. Let me try this. Now, I know some people who were in frozen chosen churches or even worse. Then when you try to tell them, then they refuse because of ego. There is no humility. You know you're going to a church where nothing is working. Or even a fellowship. Okay? You know you're going to a fellowship where you know nothing is working. You know you're broke. And now let me tell you, broke, don't play with broke. Because money is instant. There are places where I can dare you to go and put your money today. And you see if you're going to remain the same tomorrow. It is instant. Now, one of the easiest ways of me knowing that I'm moving in the will of God is when money is. Because if you deviate a bit, bam, the first thing that is hit is money. The first thing, money. Because the devil wants that. That's where his emphasis is. Because if he can mess you up financially, there's nothing you can do. So, now, somebody is going to be humble enough to say, since I joined this place, this and this and this is not working. This and this is not working. Why don't I first listen? But you see, people like that, who are puffed up in their, vainly puffed up in their minds. Those are the people who come and say, you know, I submit to this place, but I've come for you to pray for me so that I prosper. Go and those people pray for you. Why are you coming to me? If you want, but you see, when people are vainly puffed up, like when something is not working, be humble enough to say, there is something not right here. What is not working? Give it 1 month, 2 months. Some guy came to me and said, I have taken a stock of my life for 1 year. And everything is going down since I went to a certain place. Then I say, now that is a wise person. Take a stock of your life. The only evidence you have is your life. If I tell you that I'm following the will of God, you don't know that for sure. You are just believing me. But I might be lying. However, the only way you can be sure is if you give me your money and you prosper. Then there you're sure. Because at least you don't need anybody to tell you that now you're prospering, do you? Yes. Anything else is words. And anybody can talk. It doesn't take a lot for people to just read the Bible and talk. And talk and talk. But the evidence is you. The Muzungu says the proof is in the what? In the pudding. You test it and see. Is the pudding good? Because the reason they say pudding is bad pudding and good pudding look the same. The only way you can be sure it's good or bad is by testing. So the proof is in the what? Okay, let's go to verse 17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and let's go to verse 24. And shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will say, here I am. Praise the Lord. And then it talks of a time when even the climate, in Zechariah chapter, when it says that those who do not worship the Lord will not have rain. And that's what's happening now. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this is keeping it here on earth. But also, before we come to this, in the millennium, it also happens now. In bits, remember. And shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King. Okay? And shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Now that is true now. That's where you hear places which have steeped their heart against God. Even in certain countries which are generally godly countries. Okay, at least where people, you know, believe, for the most part, believe in God, like America. Then you see a place like California, fires, Australia, fires, they are celebrating passing same-sex marriage, fires burning hundreds of thousands of acres. Then California, fires. Now, then they start praying for rain. Cape Town. They start praying for rain, bring us rain and rain. Then says, those who do not come to worship, they will not have rain. Now, this is true for the millennium, but in the, there is entandikwa, you know, right now, which grows and grows until the final prophecy there. So now, the reward process, the rewarding process, here is the good news for you, has started now. Actually, it started last year. Now is consolidation time. If you're dreaming about anything, business, starting a business, doing what, anything, you do it the Lord's way. Just like I told you, those people who try to get marriage the Western way, I'm telling you, will end up in Isaiah 4. You do it God's way. Because people come and tell me, I tell them, just know how to be a wife. And you see how God will bring you a husband. He's the one who started it, not you. You don't want it more than him. Are you the one who started marriage? Let him who started it sort it for you. Do you understand? But because you're not doing it his way, you want to do it the Western way. Let's go to the West and get a husband from there. Don't waste our time. He's the one who started all these things. None of them is your idea. So if you want his results, just learn how to do it his way. And his ways are there in the Bible. Very clear. So before I tell us you want a husband, are you a wife? The day you're a wife, give it 1 week and see. Now there are descriptions of wives in the Bible. You might not find them in some of those books you read. Overact like a what, over do like a what. What's that book called? Think like a man. Eh? You think like a man and see what you'll get. Then even if you get a man, you will start despise because you are trying to be like him. I mean, the differences between us, we are created by God to complement each other. Do you understand? I don't want a woman who is thinking like a man. Then what am I doing? Let me think like a man, let her think like a woman. And then we'll be happy. Amen? Hey, but now, the Western world gets and confuses people, and then God is the one who created the thing himself. It was his idea. He wants you to enjoy the best of it. But you have to do it his way, not any other person's way. So now some of you are going to pray, what's wrong with me? Why am I doing, you know, am I behaving like a woman? Am I acting like a woman? Am I being a wife? I mean, a wife without even a man. Eh? But you first make yourself a wife, then a husband will come, not a man. You can make yourself a woman and you'll get a man. And men can be deadly. Eh? We prefer husbands. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, glory to God. Now, all these things are reward which God is now going to bring into your life. So whatever it is you've been, for every decision that you've made that is of God, now is pay time. Praise the Lord. Now is time for what? Pay time. Now is salary time. You are going to see, and it's not going to, in a matter of a few months, where you'll see now you have to start dreaming. You have to start moving. You have to start putting yourself in a position where you can be paid. Amen? Even if they called for payment, you'd at least go and line up somewhere where they are paying. Even if you won a lottery ticket, you would go to where they are paying out. Right? So don't just sit down, because that is the plague of our generation. People just sitting down and hoping things are going to happen. Now somebody has a dream, something powerful, which you have been thinking about. Step out. Go and look for something. Go and look for a partner. Go and look for something. And all these people exist within us. Amen? And see how you'll get reward for that time. Because in a matter not too far away from now, this distinction between those who are crying and those who are laughing, those who are rejoicing and those who are, you know, the scripture I just read, where one are the other side, the other are this side, is going to happen. Now, the other ones will continue cursing God and becoming broker. And A friend of mine had a dream where some time ago he was in heaven and he saw Kenneth Hagin and he was speaking to him, but that language of telepathy. So he's just talking and then he's seeing smoke coming out of the guy's mouth and coming into his mouth. Now, of course, that was an impartation. So he's hearing, he's seeing his mouth talking. He's seeing the old man, Kenneth Hagin's mouth talking. And smoke is just coming out and coming into his mouth. Now then, he was seeing what was happening on earth. And he saw a certain group of pastors whom he knows, he's a pastor. A certain group of pastors whom he knows very well, whom he, you know, can identify name and all, who are telling him, no, that is a cult, what you're doing is a cult, what you're doing is a cult. And they continued screaming, cult, cult, cult. And then he saw their lives diminish, diminish, diminish so much that they got into, like they were staying in, like houses which were like dog kennels, in very bad places. And in front of, you know, sewage, whatever, you know those things, eh? Like what would qualify to be a terrible slum. And these are powerful men outside here, and they are in there, but they are still shouting, cult, cult, cult. And they are going down, 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 but they are still, you know, shouting, cult, cult. Now, why they are telling him cult for him is going higher, 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 higher. And now they are so in such decrepit places, but they are still shouting at him who is high up there, cult, cult, cult. So when people have made up their mind and they miss the train, they will go down like that. And there is something that gets to them that they cannot change their mind, even when it is so clear that this is not working. You understand? Where you see somebody and say, can't you see that what you're doing is not working? At what stage do you humble yourself and say, okay, now, agreed, it's not working. But they will not, because they missed the flight somewhere. And now their pride has taken over. They are what? They would rather die. One guy told, you know, his wife, he's a preacher. His wife was very sick for so many years. Then she went and they prayed for her. And she got healed completely, completely. Not a single trace of sickness. Like, she's as if she's living her youth in her old age. The husband is sick. She said, let's go. She said, no, those girls, that guy is a sorcerer. He's a sorcerer. So you're so proud, you die, you're going to die in your pride. At least go and it doesn't work. Do you understand? Of course, the guy is not a sorcerer. He's a man of God. The guy who prayed for her. But the guy cannot change his doctrine. He said, I would rather die than go to those sorcerers. Okay, you die. Don't waste people's time. Eh? Like, you know, but pride is as... when somebody becomes proud, and you see people think pride is, you know, walking with swag and all that. Eh? Because you see you wear a malala. Eh? So when some guy walks like, you know what? Eh? You say that I know malala. No. Pride is... like just the stubborn refusal to consider that you might be wrong. Like you can't be wrong. You'd rather die than believe you're... Okay, and now you see those people all the time now. When you accept in you that I'm not going to have pride, I am in the learning process, and you make these decisions, and you change, and you adjust, and you do things accordingly, then reward time is now. Praise the Lord. Reward time is when? Is now. Now clap for that, eh? And God, glory to God. Everything has to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. I'm telling you, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything. And those who fall off will not have been deserving of that thing. That's just the way it is. So there is a small shaking. People are, you know, there's a small, people fall off. People get offended. Now, offense is the cardinal weapon of the devil to take you off people who are supposed to help you spiritually. Praise the Lord. I wish you'd know that. I wish you'd know that. God designates somebody as the person who is going to help you. And the devil knows it. So the devil will find a way of getting you to be offended by that person. How can you imagine he even said this and what? And then you quench anger, then you go. Then you go and the person remains. Amen? Even if sometimes the things the person has done are fake. Do you understand? Eh? God does not call anybody. That did not call you to submit to people who are perfect. They are none. So even if the person has done something wrong, which is clearly wrong, and God has designated for you to be there, don't let yourself be offended, because you will suffer consequences, and the person who God gave you, for him, he will go ahead by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. And for you, you'll be there being a judge. Who called you to be a judge of any man of God? God says you submit to him, for you become his judge. That one, I don't agree. This one, no. Then when the reward time comes, you're out of it. Praise the Lord. The reward comes and you're out of it. Now, some of you even husbands, who told you is a perfect one? Wife submit to, there is no perfect one. I'll tell you that. Now, you read 1 Corinthians, it says that for the sake of angels, there are angels which give rewards, and they come in the authority structure, and they find that you left. Praise the Lord. And they find that you left. Why? Because the man is not perfect. Go and find a perfect one. Wish you luck. Glory to God. But see, this is this generation. The two shall become one. Becoming is a long process. Becoming is a long what? Hey, you don't become a doctor when you enter P1. So if I say you shall become a doctor, hey, you have so many years to wait before. Now, before you're one, before you're one, there is a becoming. And the becoming is not easy. It involves coursework, what, you know, those things. Praise the Lord. And people think the two shall become one on the day you get married. No, that is a lie. Not on the day you get married. It might be on the day before you die. Then you finally become one. Praise the Lord. Okay, now that is not good news for our generation. Because you people, you want every day. Why? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, prepare yourself for reward. Stand up and be like somebody who is about to be rewarded. Who is qualified for a reward. Tell your neighbor, I am qualified for this reward. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm qualified for this reward. Now, I want you to give yourself 1 minute and tell yourself what reward it is. Because some of you are saying reward, you don't even know what you want. So if God came and wanted to reward you and tell you that now, what is your reward? What is it? I want you to have an answer straight on. Praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about saying I'm going to go to heaven. No. I'm talking about a reward here, which you will have. And then the people who despised you when you made the decision for God will look and say, indeed, you have been rewarded of God. The scripture says he makes a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Glory to God. So the table is not complete unless there are enemies around seeing you. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Glory to God. So there have to be some people. Enemies does not mean somebody who you don't like. There shouldn't be any such person. Enemies mean somebody who thought you are stupid when you thought to pursue the path of God. Somebody who thought that their path was superior to yours. Somebody who thought that the books they studied in school suddenly guarantee them a certain lifestyle. And then they realize that you have a lifestyle much better than theirs and you don't have their books. Now, those are the enemies. So until somebody is watching you swallow, and swallowing saliva when you're swallowing something serious, the table is not yet complete. Praise the Lord. I'm not the one who wrote these words. These are the words of God. Those people who thought to follow the Western marriage values, when you're seated, you know, walking hand in hand, eating ice cream and doing what? Those are the enemies. Do you understand? When you follow God's way and it leads to God's results and happiness and joy. And then somebody follows the results of people who are failures from the onset. Now, when for you you're cheating, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, those are the enemies we are talking about. Now, has everybody defined their success? Everybody? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you do a mighty, a wonderful work in the midst of us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because you give us a life that is beyond anything we could think about. And even as we wait for the eternal reward that you promised us, that we shall have on that day, we receive our rewards right now. Say amen. Amen. We begin the reward receiving process. It starts right now in the name of Jesus. We receive it all, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We receive reward. We receive our reward, and we shall be for the praise of the name of Jesus Christ. Because even your word says that we may show forth the praise of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Now we shall show it forth. We shall show forth our praise by being people who everybody looks at and admires. For even so, it was your purpose from way back. Because you called Abraham and made out of him a nation, and you said that shall be a special nation unto you, a special nation that is lifted up, that shall not be defeated in battle, whose enemies shall come against them in one line and split in seven. And then you said they shall be a glorious nation under the earth for you. Now we are that nation. We are the ones that are glorious in this earth, that everybody who sees us sees the mighty workings of the Lord in the name of Jesus, and sees that the Lord rewards. For without faith it is impossible to please you. For he who comes to you must believe first of all that you are, and that you are a rewarder of all those who diligently seek you. Now, Father, we believe that you are a rewarder. Say amen.
Amen.
Say, I believe he's a rewarder.
I believe he's a rewarder.
Now lift up your hands and receive your reward in the name of Jesus. Just receive your reward this day in the name of Jesus. And it starts now and grows bigger and bigger and bigger in the name of Jesus, that you stand out in your field, you stand out in your profession, you stand out in your place of work, every place in the name of Jesus, you stand out in your business in the name of Jesus as a reward from God. Now receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it because it is yours, and it is yours to receive right now. Rosheke brazantalaba koro satili masiroba. Ramazantalaba siko brosheke mazintalaba shiko krobozon torboshi. Rikomnozon torboshika gramazantalaba silo brozon torboshida. Ramarazantalaba siko krobozinta. Scholarship. Somebody reward is scholarship in the name of Jesus. A powerful scholarship to go and study somewhere in the name of Jesus. Rimazitalaba koro bozonto. Receive it in Jesus' name. Rosheke brazinto roboshidaba. Robrazitelebe shiko gromazantalaba siko.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.